time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, and here we are once again.
This is Scott Spears, and today we're going to look back at a very special piece of audio footage that I hope you're going to enjoy.
Good grief. Okay, here we go. Thanks, Sean. Okay, we got our computers rearranged here. Okay. And how are you all doing today? It's a great day outside. It's a little cloudy, I see. And we probably will get some rain, maybe, off and on today. You never know. Of course, the TV weatherman always gives you that chance. And, when it's so hot, you never know what's going to happen. But I've got some interesting questions today that I just dreamed up. And I've got the same prizes. I've got Zumbezi Bay. I've got the tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival in Dublin, of course. These tickets will admit one, and if you win, I will give you two of these. And then I also have Zumbezi Bay to give away today. Let's see, what else? Do I have anything else? Zumbezi Bay. Oh, the Columbus Zoo. Or are you tired of going to the zoo? I bet when... It is. Here comes some more of those Marion people. That's great. Columbus Zoo. All right. Get these all lined up here, ready to give away. And so how you all doing today? Yesterday was a lot of fun. And maybe we'll have some interesting topics today. Now, we harvested a cucumber. Now, maybe you cucumber people can tell me, we harvested the cucumber maybe too early, because I didn't peel the covering on it. I sliced it up. Cute little, thin slices. The only thing is, the peeling was bitter. We had to throw the cucumber away. The slices were so bitter. Now, is that a sign of immaturity? Should we have let the cucumber grow more? What do you think? Do you ever encounter that with a cucumber with a terrible bitterness to that green peeling or cover on a cucumber? So I should have a lot more. Oh, I've got cucumber blossoms and cucumber stalks. Oh, you wouldn't believe. On one plant, just one single plant. Can you imagine a whole field of cucumbers? Why, you could make enough to retire on for the rest of your life. Okay, 10:18 is the time. And tell me, are any cucumber people like I talked to yesterday could tell me if we picked our cucumber too early because it had such bitter outer covering, should we have waited later? I think I have a later one coming on. Anyhow, that's one of my questions today. Let's see, my bee balm is doing good. I tell you, not only do honeybees like bee balm, but the good old bumblebees. That's right, the good old bumblebees. And they sting you, it too. But they've been more predominant, I think, than the honeybees. Okay, and let's see what else has been going on. I never did talk much about the Zyoptera, did I? the damselfly. Hopefully you went out and sat in a chair or sat on your porch and scoured the sky for damselflies. Quite interesting. All right, now, I have a couple of questions today that are easy to look up, if you want to look them up. And the first one is, I want to know the name of the year that there was a terrible blackout after a huge Atlantic storm. This was in New England. And the storm knocked out power up and down the East Coast. Well, Jeannie and I and our kids were on vacation. Were the kids born yet? I'm trying to think. But anyhow, we were on the East Coast when it happened. And I can still remember seeing all the, you know, the lightning and everything. And the power went out, and we were on the road. And we went clear down through Boston on Route 128, clear down to New York City. New York City was dark. And that is something when New York City goes dark. And that I want to know what year that was. Now, the year I thought it was turned out to be a year later. So I want to know the year of the great big confrontation with Mother Nature on the East Coast that had the biggest blackout they've ever had. I don't think they've ever had one that big. When the city of New York goes dark, can you imagine anything could happen? But what year was it? If you can tell me, I'll give you a prize. Or if you just want to talk, that's fine too. And if you have any good stories you'd like to talk about, oh, speaking of that, in the newspaper today, in the obituaries, a guy, Tim Spires, passed away. Yeah, Tim Spires. Remember Tim? Well, he was, I worked with Tim at WDIF, the original WDIF. I worked with him. He was on the air, and then he was also a salesperson. And Tim was one of those type A's. He didn't let grass grow under his shoes. Tim was a busy guy. Man, oh man. And he worked not only at WDIF, but then he went on to other stations and in the line of sales especially. He was so great. Tim Spires never let the grass grow under his shoes. His brother Bill was quite, his brother Bill is still alive. Bill used to be an appliance salesman at New Supply. I remember we bought a huge refrigerator off of his brother Bill. But Tim, he was a type A. Man, oh man. And his obituary talks a little bit about him. In fact, the obituary, it gives a phrase that we all worked under at the old, original WDIF. There's a phrase in there, not worded quite like the original, but it's there. You'll see if you get the star and you read his obituary. Tim Spires, I can't believe it. He was 59, almost 60. Died in, I think, Florida. But Tim was a hard worker. Man, when it comes to sales, he did sales. And some of you merchants, well, I don't know if there are any merchants still alive that remember Tim calling on you. But that was a long time ago. Man, I forgot all about Tim. Although I often remembered his brother Bill being an appliance salesman. But then all of a sudden, Tim Spires, oh my goodness. I can't believe it. But that's the way it is. And so we move on. And if you, anyone else around here that knew Tim would like to call and tell us about knowing Tim as he was a salesman at the original WDIF. We had a great station over there. The George Scantlin and his wife Janice, of course, owned that station. I'm sure George's dad also had a great, whoops, dropped my earphones here. Yeah, George's dad also had a great interest in that station. But it was an up-and-going. You know, it really was up-and-going. I came there from WMRN, and we were, you know, at MRN, we were kind of, I can't exactly say downcast, but we never had the get up and go. We were kind of like stuck in the mud, some of us. Because I know when I started my campaign to raise money for the arena and the statue and everything else, that got everybody off. I can remember when, and this is kind of like personal, when Bob Mason died, the radio station hadn't sold yet. So they had to have management. They had like four men to manage the radio station before it was sold to the man from WJR. And somebody overheard the four when they got together. They said, we're going to have to knock Evers down. Well, I never told that to anybody. Nobody knows that except you, listeners. But I was getting too much publicity on some of the things I was doing. And they thought that was too much. We got to knock Evers down. Well, that's all past history. Oh, my goodness. I went from there to an entirely different operation. For every day we had a meeting before we all went to work. We cheered. We jumped up and down. We got everything going. Oh, my goodness. It was an interesting venture, going to an entirely different radio station. And, of course, it was strictly FM. And after I went there, we had to have a big campaign to get people to buy FM converters for their cars. Car radios, at that time, not all of them had FM. And so you could buy an FM converter to put in your car. And it was specifically after I went and joined WDIF. They had to find a place for me. And I sat for 10 years at one desk. And I started out with a typewriter from 1917 to write my newspaper columns. But I had a lot of, it was a lot of fun at WDIF, the original. It was a gangbuster place, man, oh, man. And it was almost pretty disheartening to see that station eventually sold because it was so different. It was so uptown. They had a group they called the Body Watchers, and they had different events. And at the start of the Popcorn Festival, WDIF played a major role. I can remember when Henny Youngman came. Remember Henny? He was the very first talent the Popcorn Festival brought in. And Henny Youngman, who was famous for Take My Wife, Please. I interviewed Henny Youngman, sat with him in the studio, and I looked at him, and I thought, I'm looking at a man that millions of people have seen on television, and here I am, a one-on-one in a room with Henny Youngman. That was a real thrill. And then I was also with another man. I can't remember his name. I wish I could. They called him the Hero of Midway. He was a bomber pilot. He dropped torpedoes at the Battle of Midway. But he was also shot down. And in the water, he managed somehow, I don't know how he got, but he saved, how he got it, I don't know, a bullet. And he held the bullet in his mouth until he was rescued. And I don't, maybe there's more to it than that. And I can't remember his name. Do any of you remember the man who they called the Hero of Midway? And that was this man that came to the Bratwurst or the Popcorn Festival 2 or 3 years after it started. I wish I could remember. But it was an interesting time of life. It was busier, but it was go-get'em type. And if you read the obituary of Tim Spires and read that saying like, kick you know what, have fun, kick you know what, make money, and have fun. That was our motto. And we lived by that. Yeah, kick you know what meant get going, work hard. but then make money at the same time and have fun at the end. Well, Tim Spires, he's gone. Wow. He lived that motto. 1029's the time. And let's see what else has been happening. If any of you have anything you'd like to add, please call 740-383-9944. But call after our break. I have a break coming up here. And after that, I'd like to hear from some of you. What experiences have you had at work? Have any of you joined a company that was kind of downcast? You didn't feel, like much? And how many of you work for companies where go get them? Okay, we're coming up on 10:30. 740-383-9944. We'll be right back after this word or two. Scott, did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marian, native and Miss America, Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
2 jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. And I my one question, what year was it that the power went off on the East Coast, including New York City? Up and down the East Coast. I remember that night, there was lightning continuous in the skies. Wow, and we had set out, we were traveling, I can't remember exactly where we were going to end up that night. Maybe to a hotel or motel. But everything was dark, absolutely dark. And when you go through Boston in darkness, you've done something. And then you get to New York City and you're still in the dark. Woo, wow. What year was that? Yeah, it went down in history, that's for sure. One of the biggest thunderstorm happenings that ever happened on the East Coast. I mean, up and down. Not just one area, but up and down the East Coast. Until it blew out transformers and, brought down power lines. Wow, what a time. What year was that? Okay, are you curious? 740-383-9944. And if you can answer that, I'll give you a prize. A couple of Dublin festival tickets. That's the Irish Festival in Dublin, where they clog a lot. Yeah. It says on the ticket, "Let your shamrock shine." All right. So I got those tickets, and I've got Zumbezi Bay. And I also have the zoo. And how are you? What year was it the big light putting out storm on the East Coast? It was back in the 70s. I'll give you that much of a lead. Okay, now, here's something else that you probably never would have thought of. There was a thing that we used to use. I didn't use it. I never understood how you operated a slide rule. Did you? And if you guys out there, well, and gals too, ever use a slide rule? My boss did a slide rule all the time, figuring out different things about resistance and capacitance and circuits. You used a slide rule. What year was the last slide rule manufactured? Yeah, they've been out of business for a long, long time. But what year would you think the last slide rule was manufactured? 740-383-9944. Okay. Do I have an audience that's sound asleep right now? If you know someone, call them up and say, hey, wake up. Oh, my. And what else do I have to ask? Oh, I've got street questions. Yes. Okay, now, first of all, name the year of the big storm on the East Coast that knocked out power everywhere from Boston to New York City and all around. Hartford, Connecticut. New Haven, Connecticut. You name it. Now, I remember one year. I don't know if it was that year or not. It might have been. I got mixed up in directions and drove out in New Haven, Connecticut to the city landfill. That's right. I got all mixed up. That's what some people do today with GPS, with their, you know, little gadgets to tell them where to go. And if you ever put in, like you're in Marion, and you put in, say, Sugar Creek, or Berlin, watch what your GPS tells you to do. It will have you running up and down side roads. You'll see more countryside than Carter had liver pills. Instead of directing you to State Route 39. Simple as that. I can't believe why they do that. Is there a reason, do you suppose, why GPS would have you running up and down all through the countryside? Would they do that just so you could see things? I don't know. But I've talked, my daughter, Angie, went over there the other day, and she said, I use my GPS. I said, did you see a lot of countryside? She said, I thought it'd never end. Countryside everywhere. Instead of directing you to State Route 39. Well, anyhow, what was I talking about? Okay, I've got some questions. Apparently you don't want any prizes today. Maybe you'd like to just talk. Well, that's fine with me. How many of you aren't bashful that would like to someday talk on the radio? Well, today could be your chance. Or can you tell me about cucumbers? Now, I talked to a nice lady yesterday about cucumbers, and my wife picked the first one, and I didn't peel it. I chopped, or, you know, sliced it up into tiny, thin little slices, and the skin was so bitter. We had to throw it all away. My first cucumber hit the dirt. Oh, it would have been. And what I did, though, I took my peeler, my sharp as a razor peeler, and peeled off, as hard as it was, some of the rind, and ate the middle part, and it was so good. But to do that was too much of an effort. 10:37 is the time. You're listening to Let's see, what are you listening to? WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM in Marion, Ohio. Now, eventually, the whole city will get more used to us. But when MRN was the station, you know, everybody tuned to it out of habit. Marionites have, and I join them, too. I have habits. But they automatically turn to get the local news and so forth. Now, we have, every hour, local news. We have obituaries 3 or 4 times a day. So we try to offer everything you need. And all you got to do is tune in. Tell your neighbor to tune in, 107.1 on your FM dial. Okay, most FM radios will pick us up. Now, some of the real cheapies from back in the 70s might have a hard time, or the 80s. 10:38, and yet I don't know. We're a low-power station, and our goal is to service Marion and some of the surrounding areas. Okay, now, moving on. Here's a good question. There is a street in Marion that has a baseball name. A street in Marion that has a name pertaining to baseball. Now, what street would that be? 10:39 is the time. What street in Marion would you say has a title that you would find in baseball? That to me is an interesting street. Well, I don't know anything about the street. I can't tell you exactly where the street is. But it has to do with baseball terminology. Okay. If you get that one, I'll come up with another. But how many of you, you could even, oh, here we go. Yes, good morning. Go ahead.
Charlie, you're looking for Short Street?
Short? Hey, well, that would be a good one, but Short isn't the one I'm looking for. Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, our faithful listener, I appreciate him. Yes, indeed. Okay, the rest of you out there, what are you doing for fun? Yes, some people are watching The Price. We'll be watching The Price is Right and things like that. You might keep me on the background, though, because you never know what I'll come up with. Like, what year was the great blackout in the East Coast, and what year did they stop making slide rules? How many of you ever used a slide rule? You know, if you had one in your hand, it was very impressive. So you could strut around your office or somewhere holding your slide rule, and they'd say, man, that guy knows what he's doing. I think I had one. I enrolled once in the Cleveland Institute of Technology, and it got so tough, and I got a slide rule out of it. But it got so tough, I think I threw the slide rule away and said, to heck with it. Continue on, Evers. 10:41's the time. And how are you all doing today? Are you waiting for it to rain? It just might. If it rains, my cucumbers will get the water they need. And if it doesn't rain, I will water them today. Now, I'm getting better physically, and I think I could actually pick up a sprinkling can and water my cucumbers. You know, I've been kind of a little under the weather, but I got to get out and do some recuperation, if that's what it's called. Now, coming to work here, I have to walk up and down a flight of stairs, and that gets a little bit easier every day. That means I'm recuperating. Okay. Now, what street in Marion would you refer to as a baseball street, or have to do with baseball? A baseball term. 10:42 is the time. 740-383-9944. I got Zumbezi Bay. Oh, here we go. Okay. What's your... Yes.
I bet it's Mound Street.
Hey, it could be Mound, but there's one other term.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay.
and I used a slide rule for about 10 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Went through college engineering with a...
Oh.
So all we had was a slide rule then. There wasn't any...
How did the slide rule operate? I mean, what was the basic principle?
Probably mainly in logarithm type thing. You know, you could... You can multiply, divide, you know, square root, cube root.
Oh, okay.
A lot of functions. They didn't add or subtract, but, you know.
Okay. Well, the last one, I'll give the answer. The last one was made in 1976.
76.
It all ended
there. Well, I would thought it would have been made after that.
Yeah.
It wasn't until about 70 when I quit using mine. And,
okay.
And we all got HP calculators.
Oh, yes.
$400 calculators at the time.
Yes.
You know, you can buy the same calculator today for $10. You know?
Exactly. You know, I ran into the same thing. When I became farm director at MRN, one of my customers was Jim Fritz at Farm Life. And I went there one day, and I called on Jim. Jim said, hey, Charlie, look at this. I got this new calculator. He said, you wouldn't believe how much that costs. I said, well, how much? $300.
Yeah, and that was probably only just a straight old four function.
Yes,
you know, add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
1970.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, all right. Thanks, okay. Charlie. I'll keep thinking on your baseball.
Yeah, do that.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, I never thought, but there are. Yeah, there's shortstop. There's first. Well, anyhow, this term I'm looking for is a very pronounced baseball term, a very good term. 10:44 is the time, and we'll be back after a little break coming up here. And if you have anything you'd like to offer today, I certainly would appreciate it, because it's just, you know, this is open territory. I don't have any food to give away today. Now, if I had food, I'm sure I'd be getting more calls. We and Marion love food, right? Check us out on Friday nights. Find an open seat at a restaurant on Friday nights. Okay, now I have another caller. Stay right there, caller. I'll get to you after the break.
Charlie, do you know, because of you, more Marion residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC, in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, good morning, caller.
Are you looking for Homer Street?
Yes, Homer Street is correct. Yes. Now, would you like a prize today?
No, I can't win until next week.
Okay, but Homer Street, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, Homer.
Where is Homer Street?
You know where you, let's see, you know where Hype's Dental Place is?
The what dental place?
Pipes there on East Center by the,
Oh, okay, on East Center, off of East Center.
Yeah, Homer, it's one of those streets you turn there and you go towards,
You would go toward Mount Vernon Avenue?
It's one of those streets as you go towards, I'm trying to think of, some of the streets around there. It's down around, it's off Church Street, let's see, Homer. It takes you to Mount Vernon.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
It's a short street there.
Yes.
And you'll hit, I'm trying to think of that street that you do hit when you get it, but you, it's like a short street there, but it's right off Center Street there by High Stead.
Very good. Okay. Well, thanks for your answer.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right. Now you know where Homer Street is. And I bet a lot of you already knew, didn't you? Yes, indeed. 10:47 and a half right now. And anyone else with anything you'd like to pass along today? Okay, so much for Homer Street. All right. Cross that one off. Okay. Now, these questions I had last year, if you remember. But I've been to the point where, I'm too tired to get it. You know, and to set and get more questions, I'll just use a few from last year. Okay. Now, let me see. There is a street in Marion that has to do with time. A street that has something to do with the measurement of time. The measurement of time. Got that? A street in Marion that has something to do with the measuring of time. 740-383-9944. What else is happening today? Boy, it sure must be cloudy. I'm looking out I need to have a mirror, I think, so I can see more out of our door. I'm looking at a cement wall. And when that cement wall goes gray, I know it's cloudy. Simple. Okay. Slide rule, yeah. How many of you ever used a slide rule? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. And so they stopped making them in 1977, but I'm sure that they sold them much later than that. They just stopped making them in 76. And boy, wasn't, you know, I remember, like I say, Jim Fritz at Farm Life Fertilizer showing me that $300 calculator, and oh boy, it's like magic. Look, I can put in and I can add up all these figures, bang, just like that. And there's $300, which do they practically give them away anymore? Isn't this something? The advancing of electronics. Did you watch last night the Venture to the Moon, NASA's Venture to the Moon? Then I think it was just the other night, Monday, that they showed the auctioning off or the evaluation of pieces from the moonwalk or, well, the moon venture and all that. And then the story behind going to the moon and the poor guy, what was his name? He'd like to have walked on the moon, but they gave him the job of going around the moon, waiting on his buddies down below to come back up to him. Remember that? Yeah. But I bet he was kind of lonely up there. I can't remember which astronaut that was. But he had to wait up there as his buddies Neil Armstrong and the other guy walked on the moon and got all the publicity, planted the flag, did this and that, scooped up stones. And I touched one of those stones that Neil Armstrong bought back. They've got it. Well, they're probably here, there, in a lot of places. But this one was in the Smithsonian, the Air and Space Museum. You could go there, and they had a moonstone glued to a surface, and you could run your finger over it and say you touched something from the moon. Well, that was a long time ago. But that was an interesting story on the psychology or the whatever of the whole moon adventure. And Neil Armstrong, who was, you know, the first on the moon, was determined to kind of a hero-like. But then the guy that followed him didn't get that much publicity. Neil Armstrong, of course, the first human from Earth that we know of to set foot on the moon. Wow. And he bounced up and down. Not much gravity on the moon, folks. Yeah, those of you that are overweight, no problem. Yes, indeed. You can go to the moon and you'll weigh a lot less. And yeah, that's something. But think how long ago that was. 1969. That's a long time ago. When we landed on the moon, and we've not been back humanly since. My goodness. I'm sure we've left a few things on the moon in the meantime. You wonder what we do have on the moon, or what any other country, like China, what did they put on the dark side of the moon? They landed there, but they had no human aboard. But I'm sure they left some equipment there that would radio back to mainland China on what's happening on the dark side of the moon. 10:53 is the time. And if you have any good adventures in life that you could talk about, anything that was that you deem really interesting in life, you could talk, you know, or are you all a little bit on the bashful side? Not everybody is akin to talking on the radio. A lot of people freeze up right away. If I'd have frozen up, things had sure been different. Because when I was given the full reins of being on the air, I had never been on the air before. I was an engineer. I did wiring. I did soldering. You know, and did checking tubes. We had hundreds and hundreds of radio tubes in use. And what my job was once a year to take every single tube and run it through a tube tester. And as I did that, I had to mark down the reading of that tube and write it down on a card and put that in the appliance or the radio, whatever. Put that so that you could read, and if the tube went out, you could pick out that card and say, well, the last time I can see it was starting to go down. But that was, I did that day after day after day, and night after night, sometimes all night long. I had the night shift, and then I'd have the day shift. But there was once I built an antenna that went on top of the building out there. I think it's gone by now, for our scanner. We had an ancient type of scanner. I mean, really old. And I built the antenna for it, thinking we'd pick up things better. And we did. And that antenna was up there for a long, long time. I mounted it on, I know it was a tube of four, and I painted it red and white. Yeah, and it's in some of the pictures taken to the radio station. My red and white pole supporting the scanner antenna, in case you happen to see an old picture of the radio station and see that. Now, there is one other picture that was taken that was published, but it's inaccurate. And it shows a different major tower. Totally different in the construction. Either the lattice work of the tower, totally different. It had to be added. It was an added-on thing by whoever the photo taker was. He put that tower in there. I don't know why, because the original tower, of course, was put up in 1940. And then in 1953, we went on the air on FM. But just before that, they had hired me. One of my jobs was to crawl inside the FM transmitting antenna while it was still on the ground, of course. It was a cylindrical thing, just big enough that I could crawl inside and carry in copper tubing with me. And I built a whole network of copper tubing inside the antenna. And that was very particular. You had to do it just right, because that tubing, copper tubing with insulators in it, was going to have to handle eventually 5,000 true watts of power. But I did it, and boy, I tell you, that was something. If you can imagine me being in a tube on the ground, held up by horses, the antenna, that is. If you remember an early antenna, FM antenna on WMRN, and I crawled in there, and I got everything done. I don't know how I did it. I had to take wrenches, and I had to have enough room to make all my joints and tighten them up and everything. And then when I slid out, got caught by other screws that were from the outside into the antenna. That was some time, but it worked. It worked great. 10:57 and a half is the time, although eventually the wind whipped that, it was 52 feet long. They whipped that around to, it started damaging it, and so they had to go up and install fins, F-I-N-S, install fins all the way around that tubular top piece to break up the wind flow to keep it from whipping. You know, all kinds of things in engineering. And then, to prevent the transmitter lightning from coming back into the radio station, I built a lightning arrester, and I bet that arrester is still in use. It was two great big brass